Scientology, we try to reestablish the individual's power of choice over his own beingness, because he has forgotten that he can be himself much better than he can be anybody else. He's much more familiar with the part. But the part has let him down, he feels, too many times. He's lost too often. He's made a mess of it. Therefore, other things can confront much better than he can, and that's his obvious conclusion. The pictures which he makes and mocks up succeed after the fact of his abandonment of his own beingness. If you want to get a fellow keyed in totally, convincing him he's nobody, let him join the army or something of the sort. Convince him he's nobody. Convince him that he hasn't a chance as himself. He hasn't a prayer. Therefore, he'd better be somebody else. Second, you can get him convinced that he himself hasn't a chance, or that he can be somebody else. A rather pathetic case I handled one time, having to do merely with engrams and man's use of engrams and so on. A criminal was handed over to me by local police department. They sometimes shove people my way they consider utterly hopeless. And it was their consideration that this man was a homicidal maniac. But because he had never actually killed somebody that they had any record of, they felt he might go along to a point and actually kill somebody. They felt he was quite dangerous in the society. So just out of slight interest, something like that, they sent him over to me to see if I could do anything with him. It was a pathetic case. He'd been a little newsboy, and every time he had sold his papers, the neighborhood bully had come along and had beaten him up totally and thoroughly and had taken the remaining papers and all of his money away from him. This happened every night. He'd hit him and take his money away from him. This man totally made his living, if you want to call it that, by walking down the street or getting into a card game or getting a fellow in a hotel room or something of that sort, but preferably the street, and beating up somebody and taking away his money. Now, he had tried to stop himself from doing this by paralyzing his own arm. One day, he felt himself almost striking his mother, and he put a hold on it to such a degree that he became paralyzed. One arm was totally paralyzed, and a section of that body was paralyzed. Yet, he still had to go out and beat up people and take away their money. And this was what he had to do. I established this fact, gave him back a little bit of freedom of motion, worked this thing out, actually got the engram into view, inspected it, and so forth. I didn't give him very much auditing. I audited him two or three times, I think, for only about an hour or so. I wanted to find out about the case. I was doing an analysis of the case, and I determined conclusively that he was not a homicidal maniac. He wasn't about to kill anybody. He was merely going to beat people up and take their money away from them. That was the only thing he was ever going to do. He had to hit him in a certain way, a certain number of times, and take a certain sum of money. Isn't this fascinating? As a little boy, he received an engram every night that he tried to sell papers. I did something toward the end of one of the sessions. I simply flipped him into his own valence, but his own valence he had never grown up as. He was a little boy, and he kind of lisped, and he couldn't talk very good, and he thought he was in a peculiar state of beingness, and so forth, and he went out and got with some of his companions and flipped back, but I didn't flip him back. The environment flipped him back. But I flipped him into his own valence. He said it was very funny. He felt much better and so forth, but he had a feeling like he was going to be beaten up at any moment. Here was an engram walking around the streets. Here were pictures arrested in time. Here were these pictures being used in the game of livingness.